In the days before I met Elektra and became a one-woman man, I spent many a wondrous night in places like the Nexus 9. Pulling up to the club in the shank of the evening made me wax a little nostalgic for those days. The nostalgia ended a few nanos later when I got out of the car and stepped into a pool of vomit in the parking lot. Great.
I see that the level of establishment you choose to frequent hasn't changed.
Hey, the vomit's outside the club. That's a step up right there. The club itself was a small metal hangar-type building. The place was dark and dilapidated, but from the sounds coming from within, it was clear that ambience didn't matter much to the patrons.
A charming place indeed. I thought that the post-apocalyptic look went out with the last apocalypse.
It's called atmosphere, Harv.
Ah, yes. Too bad the atmosphere is insufficient to support intelligent life.
Inside, the club looked about as no-tech as you could get, short of having dinosaur meat on a spit. A big bar at the rear of the room kept the food frying and the drinks flowing. The tables were all full, as were the stools at the bar, and most of the standing space was occupied as well. Busy night. A dry ice machine in the back produced the necessary dive bar smoke effects, sans nicotine, and a tobacco-scented filter gave the air that annoying stench to which bar dwellers of this sort are so accustomed. A few scantily clad dancers, male and female, bumped and ground on scattered stages and raised podiums for the adoring patrons. Two bouncers, one man and one woman, met me at the door. Both were tall and muscular and clad in black faux leather jumpsuits. They were pale-skinned, had dull black hair that was cropped short and spiky, and wore perpetual scowls on their faces. They looked for all the world like a pair of S&M fraternal twins. I took special note of the fact that they both carried heavy-duty stun guns. Clearly, they were more into the S than the M. The woman stepped forward to meet me and put her large hand in my face.
Stop! Your computer may not enter!
Excuse me? She pointed at the computer interface on my wrist.
Computers are forbidden within the club. They are to be checked at the door. Wait, you are Zachary Johnson? Look, Dieter, it's Zachary Nixon Johnson.
Her fellow bouncer, Dieter, who had been looking aloof and dangerous all this time, turned his gaze ever so slightly towards me and continued looking aloof and dangerous.
Yeah, Dieter, it is.
If it's not, then it's an incredible coincidence that these shoes fit so well.
Yeah?
I think it's a joke.
I don't get it.
It was only a small joke. Dieter stepped closer to me, gently placing her face mere inches from my own.
I enjoy your work.
Really?
I loved it when you threw that scientist into the vat of acid.
Actually, he fell. I was trying to save him, and he was going to drop poison into the water supply.
And the time you blew up that mad bomber.
I detonated the bomb after I teleported the bomber to the police.
And when you broke the nose of the teenage pop singer?
Wow, she was sampling Elvis. She had it coming.
You are vicious and violent. I hope that someday I too will have the chance to be like you and throw a scientist to his imminent death.
It's good to have career goals. Look, since we're all buddies now, how about letting me keep my computer inside?
I will think about it. No.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your thinking about it, Dieter. I know how difficult that is for you. I handed Dieter the wrist interface and walked into the main room.
I think he just made fun of you.
I don't get it.
I went to the restroom and ducked into the first empty stall I found.
No computers allowed. We are truly in the barbarian's den this time.
Listen, here's the plan.
You actually have a plan?
It's the first time for everything. Run a scan of the bar. Isolate any anomalies that could be signs of BB2.
I did that the nano we entered. Observe.
A digitized playback of my walk through the bar flashed in front of my left eye.
I recorded the input from your island.
It's giving me a headache.
Close your right eye until you get used to the playback. Ripping edge technology is never painless. Now, watch closely. I didn't detect BB2's presence anywhere in the establishment, but there are some interesting characters around.
The playback froze, and a cursor appeared around the image of a large man in the crowd.
My databanks indicate that this man works in the weapons R&D unit of H-Tech.
Interesting. The playback fast-forwarded and froze again with a cursor appearing over the image of another, equally large man seated at a table.
This man works for Engshell R&D. The two of them in the same room make this establishment a veritable powder keg.
R&D competition between the two companies, is that fierce?
Not really, but both of them are currently hitting on the red-headed dancer.
Anything else? The playback rewound at high speed and came to rest on the image of a very familiar-looking small man.
Just this.
Holy gates. That's a greeting card weasel from BB's office.
Oh, yeah. I guess it is. I just highlighted him because he's wearing such an ugly tie.
I have to talk to him.
I lost him in the crowd during your discussion with the rocket scientist bouncers.
Let's see if we can track him down. In the meantime, I think I'll go to the bar. I was at the bar an hour later, and after several minutes, managed to successfully call the tender over. Like I said, busy night.
What'll it be, Mac?
Information.
You want a smart drink?
No, I mean real information.
Oh, well, I'm not sure I remember how to make that.
I'll make it worth your while.
I don't know. My while is worth a lot.
No problem.
What do you need?
I'm looking for a woman.
Oh, well, then you'll want to talk to Pierre.
No, I'm looking for a very specific woman. I think she's a dancer here.
I don't know. A lot of dancers come through here.
Oh, you'll remember this one. She looks just like BB Star. The tender stiffened suddenly and dropped the glass he was holding. His eyes flashed electronic red.
You're looking for BB?
Uh-oh.
He's a droid. Harv? Why didn't you tell me he was a droid?
I didn't know.
Hey, everyone! This guy's looking for BB!
Although I couldn't see them, I had a sneaking suspicion that everyone in the bar was staring at me through similar sets of electronic red droid eyes. I had fallen into another trap, and this one was a real megapalooza. I'd been dogged by brainless thugs and killer machines since I first took this case. I had survived every encounter, but now whoever was after me had combined the two approaches, and like a rank amateur, I'd walked into a den of killer thug machines.
I'm hoping that your plan covered this contingency.
I stared at the droid bartender and saw the other approaching droids reflected in his glassy red eyes.
Baby left a message for you. She said to have a nice death.
The first droid attacked from behind, but I saw the reflection in the tender's eyes and ducked at the last nano. The droid's fist sailed over me and hit the tender squarely in the face, severing his head from his shoulders. I rolled for cover and came up into a crouch in one fluid motion. I popped my gun into hand and blasted a meter-wide hole in the nearest droid, the guy Harv had flagged as the X-Shell R&D engineer.
Call the cops, Harv. Tell them there's a riot at the Nexus 9.
Good. They'll be here just in time to scoop up your body parts and put them into plastic baggage.
Shut up, Harv, and do as you're told.
I blasted another droid.
You should have told me that the bar was filled with droids the nano we walked in.
I didn't know. They were somehow cloaked from my sensors, but that's impossible. I need to run a diagnostic.
Run it later. If there is a later, I need you right now.
I ducked under the arms of a lunging droid, blasted its face into high-tech confetti, then leapt onto the main stage. I found some tenuous cover behind one of the dancers' podiums. The club wall protected my back, and the high angle allowed me to keep the droids away with some well-placed gun blasts.
Tweet me! Is everyone in the bar a droid?
I'm clearly no longer a reliable judge of these things. Oh, motherboard. What else am I not detecting?
Stay with me, Harv.
I blew the head off another droid as it leapt at me from the ceiling. I was happy to see that it was the greeting card salesman from BB's office.
That felt good. That wasn't the real weasel, was it?
No. The police computer reports that the true greeting card salesman is currently at home taking a bath.
Too bad. That would have made this all worthwhile.
Look on the bright side. At least they're not armed.
Armed? I suddenly remembered the high-powered stun guns that the bouncers had been packing. I rolled away from the podium just as twin stun gun blasts slammed it solidly in a crossfire. I saw Dieter and Deidre out of the corner of my eye.
This just gets better and better.
I grabbed the body of the headless bartender and shielded myself with it as I stood up and fired at first Dieter, then Deidre.
You're rapidly running low on ammunition.
That's not helping.
I fired a round at the dry ice machine and blasted it to bits. The full compartment of dry ice hit the interior water reservoir, and heavy mist flooded the room.
Where did he go?
I noted that Deidre had retained the personality subroutine of her programming. She and Dieter were clearly the most advanced of the droids, and quite probably directing the drone droids through some pre-programmed fight strategies.
I don't know. I can't see through the smoke.
To create as much mayhem as possible, I fired off another flurry of rounds at random as I formulated my plan and skulked quickly through the mist.
Harv, here's what we do.
I bumped smack into the faux leather column of bionic circuitry that was Deidre's thigh.
Switch to infrareds.
Wait, I have him.
Deidre emerged from the mist with an arm wrapped tightly around my neck
and her stun pistol pressed hard against my temple.
He was crawling toward the exit.
Good. Now kill him and fulfill our program task.
Shouldn't we take him to our boss first?
That was not our instruction.
I know, but I thought that the boss might want to kill him herself.
What did you say?
I mean himself. The boss might like to kill him himself. Herself? Who's our boss again?
Dito raised his stun pistol.
Oh, crap.
Harv's holographic illusion melted away, and what once appeared to be Deidre holding my unconscious form was replaced by me holding the headless body of the bartender.
I get it.
Congratulations. Here's your prize. I hurled the tender's body at him. The body hit Deidre just as he fired, twisting his gun hand and sending the blast into the metal ceiling overhead. The old support beams crumbled from the blast, and a huge chunk of the roof came down on top of him. Well, that wasn't so... Deidre's high-powered stun blast hit me squarely in the back and slammed me into the far wall.
You should have hit me harder, little Zack. Perhaps you are not so vicious after all.
She prepared to deliver the coup de grace.
I only regret that there is no vat of acid nearby.
Luckily for me...
New Frisco police, you're all under arrest.
The cavalry had arrived. The sight of Tony Ricci and 20 of his best officers in full riot gear striding into the club was enough to warm my heart.
How's it going, Tony?
Zack, is that you?
Unfortunately, Tony's awe-inspiring presence wasn't enough to stop the remaining 24 androids from trying to complete their programming, which was to kill me. Without Dieter and Deidre to coordinate their attack, the droids began to close in on me en masse.
Are you people deaf? I told you all to freeze!
Tony, they're droids!
What?
They're killer droids, and I'm the killee!
All right, man, open fire. Shoot anything in that mess that's not Zack Johnson.
The droids, as tenacious as they were no match for Tony and his men. And a few minutes later, the cops lifted me safely from a huge pile of droid debris.
Should have known you'd be in the middle of this. Do you need a medbot?
No, I'm fine. Thanks a lot for coming. I know you have a lot of really important police matters to take care of, so I wouldn't think of keeping you. Tony grabbed my coat.
Let's talk, Zack.
Fine. How's the family? Kay doing well? The kids? Is that dog of yours housebroken yet?
Zack, as you know, creating an android with realistic skin tones is a felony Class A offense. I just pulled you out of a pile of them.
And have I mentioned how grateful I am to you for that?
I should run you in.
For what? Getting beaten up?
In the past 3 days, there has been a fight in your office. You've destroyed a car, a hover, an elevator droid. Yes, I know about that one. And Steve only knows what else. And now this.
Been a busy week.
I don't like these things going on in my town.
I don't like these things happening to me.
I'm not joking here, Zack. I'm afraid that you might be in over your head this time. I'll help you in any way I can. But you have to tell me what the DOS is going on.
Tony, I know how hard this is for you, but you're gonna have to trust me on this one. I need 24 hours to tie this up. That's all. Give me that much time, and I'll explain everything to you.
And if you run into more trouble during that time?
You have my blessing to barge in and save my butt.
One of these days, you know, I'm not gonna be there when you need me.
Yeah, it'll make up for all those times when you were there for me when I didn't need you.
You have 24 hours, Zack. After that, I'm coming to your home with a warrant, and you're telling me everything. Got it?
It's a deal. Tony?
Yeah?
I need one last favor.
What's that?
I lifted the severed head of the droid bartender from the floor. Can I keep this? My car needs a hood ornament. A little while later, the bartender's head sat on an examination table in Randy's lab, while Randy, still half asleep, attached electrodes to its complex innards. I'm in a bit of a hurry here, Randy.
It's 2 a.m, Zack. I'm sorry if my neurons aren't firing fast enough for you.
I apologize again for the rude awakening, but I really need to know what's inside this droid's head.
Just give me another minute to hardwire into the memory circuits, and this little guy will tell you everything you want to know. This is an interesting design, by the way.
Do you recognize it?
Not exactly, but the chip design is very reminiscent of Ben Pierce's later work.
Is it from Excel?
I doubt it. The chip design is advanced, but the droid itself is poorly made. It looks like a rush job, a disposable model. It's ready to go. But we have to be careful. The circuits have been severely damaged, and they won't stand up to much grilling. If you give this thing too much to think about, it will explode.
But it will answer all our questions truthfully?
I've hardwired my device directly into its main memory. It can't lie.
Turn it on. Randy threw the power switch on the exam table, and the droid's head began to stir. Stray sparks flew from the connections inside the neck, and the skin of its forehead began to wrinkle in simulated consternation. Finally, the eyes opened.
What'll it be, Mac?
It's following its background programming. Pretend it's still a bartender. Remember, any excess stimulation and the entire thing will short out.
I don't got all night.
What'll it be?
A beer would be fine. Something with a head.
Coming right up.
Yeah, I'm sure.
What?
I mean, I'd sure like to get some information.
Whatever you say, Mac.
Where were you created?
At Shell.
When?
10 days ago. You want some pretzels?
Yeah, sure. Who is your creator?
Manuel Mani. You want your drink freshened?
Interesting. Who gave you your programming?
World Association of Drink Mixers. One another.
Who programmed you to kill me? Who programmed you to kill me when I asked about BB Star?
One on the house.
It's not going to last much longer.
Who programmed you to kill me? Tell me or you get no tip.
Fred Burns.
What?
Fred Burns.
Fred Burns from McShell?
Yeah.
The pale, fleshy guy? That Fred Burns?
Yeah.
Fred Burns from McShell programmed you to kill me?
Zach, you're getting a bit redundant here.
The droid head began to shake. It flopped around on the table like a goldfish on a kitchen floor.
She didn't want to hurt anybody. She just wanted to find her place.
Who wanted? You mean BB2?
She just wants to be left alone. How about another? How about them Jarens? She didn't want to hurt anyone.
It's going to blow.
Then why did she and Burns program you to kill me?
What?
You heard me. If she didn't want to hurt anyone, how come she programmed you to kill me? The head froze, thinking about it.
My wife!
Doc!
Randy pulled me to the floor.
You short-circuited it when you pointed out the contradiction. You blew its mind.
Then we're even. Randy gave me a new wrist interface to replace the one I lost at the Nexus 9. Then Harv and I were back on the road. I was angry with myself for totally underestimating Burns, and frustrated at the fact that it took me this long to realize the mistake. My head, or rather my heart, had obviously been elsewhere at times during this investigation, and it wasn't hard to figure out where.
Excuse me, but where are we going? The Excel laboratories are in the other direction. Your office is in the other direction. Pretty much everywhere you should want to go right now is in the other direction. I thought that being a PI, you'd be better at these things.
We're going to the hospital.
Why? You've been beaten up much worse than this before.
I need to talk to Elektra.
You are a brave man. You miss her, don't you? I can tell these things.
I need to warn her. There's some serious people after me. They might try to get to me through her.
I'm sure she knows that. That's just the status quo.
It's worse this time. I need to warn her.
It's the middle of the night, you know.
She's on the overnight shift. I checked the schedule.
I could net her and save some time.
I'm going to see her, all right.
Now that you mention it, it does make sense to warn her in person. It's more secure. Good thinking.
I miss her.
I know.
Elektra had been in surgery for most of the night, putting a new spine into a 10-year-old boy who'd been paralyzed in a hover crash. You gotta love a woman who spends her evenings doing stuff like that. She was tired when she came into the break room, but I knew that she'd be up for the rest of the night in the ICU, monitoring the kid's reaction to the surgery. I'd seen her do things like that 1,000 times before. Her dedication was one of the many things I loved about her. Needless to say, after an already long and tiring night, the sight of me waiting for her didn't exactly fill her with joy. But at least she didn't attack me. Coffee? Skim milk? No sugar? The way you like it.
Hola, chico. How'd you get in here?
She took the coffee and sat beside me. I bribed the security guys. Told them I was in love.
With BB Star?
That's a low blow.
I've seen lower.
She ran her fingers through her hair and gently rubbed the muscle at the base of her neck that always gets sore during surgery. It was all I could do not to reach out and massage her neck. Rough night?
I've had better.
The kid okay?
We'll know by morning.
You look tired.
I'm doing double shifts this week, trying to get as much done as possible before the funding runs out at the end of the month.
So, I've missed you.
I've missed you too. Like a yeast infection.
Good one. Can I use that?
You can if you want, but you need a vagina to get the laugh.
Yeah, it's probably a bit far to go for a laugh. But I'll think about it. Seriously, I really do miss you.
I've heard it before, Chico.
You know that BB Star totally blindsided me on that whole lover sex toy thing. You know it's not true.
Ugh, I don't want to keep going through this, Zach. I'm tired of making excuses. I'm tired of having to explain to everyone that my boyfriend's not having an affair with BB Star, or that he's not an alien agent from GLAAD 7, or that he's not gay.
I understand that. Wait, who says I'm gay?
You insult me when you do things like that. Worse still, you insult what we have. You turn it into a joke. I don't want to be with a man who doesn't respect the relationship, comprende?
Comprendo.
And I'm sick of having to show up somewhere with a laser cannon to save your sorry ass. I'm a doctor, dammit. I'm tired of shooting at people.
Yeah, I can see how that presents a moral dilemma for you.
So is that why you're here?
Well, the official reason is to warn you. I've got some people after me.
Who's trying to kill you now?
Pretty much everybody. So you might want to be careful. You never know when my enemies might decide that they're your enemies as well.
Frankly, Chico, if your enemies were to show up right now, I think we'd just compare notes. This thing you're in is getting serious.
Yeah, you could say that. Right now I'm looking for this crackpot, Fred Burns. After that, I think all hell's gonna break loose.
You mean Dr. Fred Burns?
You've heard of him?
I've read some of his proposals before he went corporate. He's a pretty sharp guy, as I recall. Some of the viruses he was working on were downright scary.
You mean computer viruses?
Biological.
It's a different guy then. This Fred Burns is an engineer.
Is he a pale, flabby hombre? Looks like a slab of blanched turkey, only not as appealing? Talks like a soap opera villain?
Yeah, that's him.
Right. His early work was biological. He turned engineer maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I went to one of his seminars. He struck me as a very strange man. Muy loco.
And he specialized in biological viruses?
Nasty ones. What do you want with him?
I felt my legs go numb, and my mind started running through a dozen possible scenarios for how this information changed things. None of them were good.
You okay, Chico?
Yeah, fine. Look, I'm sorry. I have to go.
Go ahead. I have to get back to this kid's spine anyway.
The two of us got up and headed toward the door.
What about the unofficial reason?
The what?
You said the official reason that you were here was to warn me. Is there an unofficial reason?
I just wanted to see you, I guess. See how things were. Maybe see if we could get together again and talk this through.
I'm not ready to do that yet.
When do you think you will be? She shrugged and turned away. I felt like I was in high school and was about to hear the "I just want to be friends" line.
I don't know. Talk to me again when you wrap up this case.
It's just that...
I know. If you survive...
I'd used that line 1,000 times. Hearing her throw it back at me now gave me a chill. More than anything now, I wanted us to survive. Yeah. If. I love you. But she was already gone.
I think it's a particularly good sign that she didn't try to harm you.
Yeah, maybe.
So where to now?
My heart told me to go after Elektra, to sit with her in the ICU next to the boy whose life she just saved, and help her in any way I could. But she'd said it herself. She wasn't ready to see me yet. And I didn't want to think about what I'd do if she was never ready. So I did what I always do when real life gets complicated. I went to work. We're going back to Excel. I have a score to settle with Fred Burns. Half an hour later, Harv and I were back on the case, back at Excel, and back in the office of Fred Burns. And since I wasn't ready to clue BB in on everything just yet, getting into the office unannounced at nearly 3 in the morning was no easy feat. To get past security, I had to pose as a computer screen cleaner, squeegee in hand, on an emergency call. The only problem was that the office was no longer there. Holy Steve. The entire workspace was empty. Every computer, every monitor, every wire, knob, and button was gone without a trace. The only thing left was a sign on the wall that read, "Coming soon, a new executive bathroom at this location."
You didn't really expect him to still be here, did you?
I suppose that would have been too easy. Still, I was hoping that there'd be something. When did he leave?
Excel records are unclear. It appears as though he sabotaged the security system, so we can't be certain.
I surveyed the big empty room. I stared for a long time at the wall where the bank of satellite monitors had once been. The search for Pierce, that Sri Lanka thing? That was probably all a ruse. If Burns is working for Manny, then he knew where Pierce was all along.
He just didn't want Excel to know.
Or me. He led us all on a wild snark chase.
Why?
To buy time for Manny and BB too.
Time for what?
I don't know, but I'm betting that it isn't good.
So what do we do?
We find Burns, kick his ass, and then have him tell us what the tweet is going on.
That was the plan before we got here. How do we find him?
Have a little faith. Remember, I once tracked down a man with nothing to go on except his favorite color and his hat size.
Yes, but the person for whom you were searching turned out to be hiding at 9½ Blue Fedora Street.
Details. I turned slowly around, visually checking the space one more time. Does Excel have a home address on him?
Not any longer. The only information they currently have is his favorite movie, Gone with the Wind Part 3.
That's it?
Yes, apparently they don't like to pry into their employees' lives. I think the truth is that Burns probably tampered with the database.
I guess we can rule out any help from Excel, then.
That would be logical. Truthfully, they may not even know he's gone. Or for that matter, if he ever actually worked here or not. They're at the mercy of their data. And somebody or something has skewed that to the max.
We'll just have to search the place from your memory. Access your recording of the Burns interview. I'm gonna need visual and audio. Let's recreate the office.
What part do you want?
The monitors were there, weren't they? Let's see those. Holographic images sprang from my eye lens, and the huge bank of monitors returned to their place in the room as Harv played in my head his recording of my meeting with Burns.
I'm coordinating the various operatives that we have in the field that are currently following Dr. Pierce's elusive trail. The manhunter's gone on for 11 months now. It's been an intense and brutal endeavor, but
stop.
It's clear.
The computer consoles were there, weren't they?
That's right.
More holographic images sprang from the lens. The desk reformed itself, and the row of computer keyboards reappeared, along with two or three empty soda bottles and disposable plates. Whew. I'd forgotten what a mess the place was. It was, what, 10 in the morning, and the guy was drinking soda and eating pizza?
He had 3 slices during your visit. Would you like playback of that?
I spun around and pointed to the wall on the left. Show me that area. Let me see what was there. The data storage units and satellite monitors appeared, but I paid them no mind. I was looking for something else. Then the storage table came into view. There. Enhance that. Harv zoomed in on the image of the table, and a nano later, I was studying the grain of the faux wood finish.
It's pretty standard as office furniture goes.
Not the table, the pile of stuff on top of it. Harv pulled back and then zoomed in again, this time on the contents of the table. The stack of memory chips, the coffee cups, and the pizza boxes. The logo on the box. Go in tight. Harv did as he was told, and the words came into focus. Pizza port.
Bingo. He's hooked on the pizza. That's how we'll find him. Hack yourself into the pizza port database. Find Fred Burns.
I'm in. Unfortunately, the database is categorized by address only.
Fine. How many deliveries were made to this office in the 3 days before we visited?
25.
Sheesh, what a pick. When did the order stop?
2 days ago. The night after we visited.
So he left here 2 days ago and went into hiding. I'm betting that Pizza Port started getting frequent orders from a new address shortly thereafter. Am I right? What's wrong?
Some of the more recent entries into the database have been encoded.
Can you break them?
Of course. The encryption routine is very similar to the one Pierce used to hide his mother's brain. 15 delivery orders have come in during the last 36 hours from 8080 Jerry Garcia Avenue, a very remote area. The most recent order was placed 73 minutes ago.
That's gotta be Burns. Pretty good find, don't you think?
Oh yes, brilliant. Perhaps we should call your next HV special Dial P for Pizza.
I like it.
You would.
A short while later, we were on the desolate stretch of Jerry Garcia Avenue. It was the wee hours of the morning, so traffic was minimal in general. And on this cul-de-sac, it was non-existent.
The house is approximately a quarter kilometer ahead, the end of the road.
I killed the headlights, parked the car at the side of the road, and scanned the area through the darkness. There wasn't another house to be seen.
I guess he doesn't want neighbors.
I'm thinking that the neighbors don't want him. I popped my gun into hand, stepped out of the car, and crept quickly through the darkness. The house was a geocentric dome, solidly designed, but generally run of the chip factory. It was clear that Burns' income was somewhat less than extravagant.
Not much to look at.
Yeah, well, neither is Burns. You remember the plan, right?
If it appears that Mr. Burns is not at home or has retired for the evening, we pick the lock. If it appears that he's still awake, we do the pizza boy routine.
Let's see it.
Boss, I know the routine.
There's a lot riding on this, Harv. It needs to be perfect.
Fine.
Harv's hologram appeared. Only this time, instead of his usual gray tweed suit and bow tie, he was wearing the white pants, shirt, and hat of a pizza port delivery person. Four pizza boxes were in his arms, and a look of utter disdain was in his eyes.
Mr. Burns, on behalf of the pizza port management, we're happy to award you these pizzas as a gesture of gratitude for your diligent patronage.
Good. But try to look a little happier.
Anything else, Mr. DeMille?
Ooh, nice period reference. A few nanos later, we were at the front door. The house was dark and silent as a ghost town library. You read anyone inside?
No, but we shouldn't rule out the existence of cloaking devices.
So he's either asleep, not at home, or lying in wait for us.
Yes, we can safely narrow it down to those three.
Okay, plan A. Think you can pick the lock?
Please. That's like asking Einstein if he could tie his shoe.
But suddenly, the door opened by itself. Of course, we could just walk in.
Shall we do the pizza boy routine?
I think the time for that is past. I entered the dark front foyer of the house cautiously with my gun drawn. Burns! It's Zach Johnson! I want you to come out with your hands up! No one gets hurt that way. I followed the existing light into the spacious living room, which was entirely empty save for one of those ugly, overstuffed white anti-grav couches that are so popular now, floating 15 feet in the air. And Fred Burns was sitting in the middle of it.
And so Prometheus returns to have the vulture eat his liver once again.
Whatever you say, Doc. Which one am I? Burns slowly lowered the couch toward the floor.
I honestly didn't expect to see you here, Mr. Johnson. I was afraid that I'd have to hunt you down. How did you find me, by the way?
You left a trail of pizza. Burns looked at the slice of pizza in his hand.
Oh, well, I guess even Achilles had a weakness. It's for the best, anyway. Your coming here saves me the time that I'd have spent searching for you.
Glad I could make it convenient for you, Doc, but I think you have the roles reversed. You see, I'm here to kick your ass and have you tell me everything you know about Manuel Mani and BB2. Burns oozed to his feet. He looked at me, then at the gun in my hand, and smiled.
I don't think so.
Burns didn't strike me as the kind of guy who had a gun pointed at him very often. The fact that he was this calm while staring into the business end was a little unnerving. I don't think you grasp the situation, Doc. I'm not playing games here.
Oh, I understand. And just for the record, I'm not playing games here either. Although I do enjoy a good game of Trivial Tidbits, I'm especially good at mythology questions.
Something was wrong here. Something was definitely wrong. But I couldn't for the life of me figure out what it was. Burns was within arm's length when I finally put my gun directly in his face, just on the off chance that he hadn't noticed it yet. Okay, Doughboy, I've had enough of this. You tell me what I want to know right now, or things are going to get very ugly.
I have been ordered to terminate you. Your coming here saves me a lot of time and effort. Thank you for your cooperation in my current endeavor.
Terminating me might be a little difficult since I'm the one with the gun.
If you'll turn your gaze skyward, you'll notice a projector suspended from the ceiling. This ingenious device of my own design emits a signal that blocks all types of communications and deactivates all computerized devices except for my own.
Burns' smile grew wider, and he reached out and gently touched the barrel of my gun with his thumb and index finger.
Your gun, I remind you, is computer controlled, and therefore will not work in this house.
I flipped the setting on my gun to heavy stun and pulled the trigger. Nothing happened. So I hit him. I really do not like thee, Dr. Burns.
Please. I am not a man of violence.
I hauled him to his feet.
Tell me what I need to know, and there won't be any violence.
But then, just because I'm not a man of violence doesn't mean I'm opposed to violence.
I felt a tap on my shoulder, and I turned just in time to see a huge red-headed droid in a maid's uniform standing beside me. Then I saw a huge droid fist coming toward me. Then I saw stars.
Mr. Johnson, I'd like you to meet Hazel, my maid droid. Hazel will be your murderer this evening. She'll also clean up afterward. Isn't that right, Hazel?
Oh, yes, Master. As if I have nothing better to do with my time than to clean up the messes you order me to create.
Let's not go into that now, Hazel. Please, we have company.
It goes without saying that Hazel wasn't your run-of-the-mill household droid. She stood nearly 3 meters tall and tipped the scale at a megaton if she was a gram. Each of her hands was easily as big as my head.
You call this flesh maggot company? I've scraped better company off of the bug zapper.
Hazel stood over me as I lay on the floor and stomped her foot trying to squash me like a bug. I rolled away at the last nano and watched her put a foot-shaped crater in the floor.
Hazel, as you can see, is immune to the deactivation devices in my house.
Yeah, but does she do windows?
Hazel's chair-sized foot kicked me in the ribs and threw me a meter and a half in the air. When I landed hard on the floor, she was already reaching for me.
No, gee, like I haven't heard that one before. Maybe you should spend the extra credits and get some writers who can steal jokes from this century.
She lifted me toward her.
Everyone's a critic.
For lack of anything better to do, I hit Hazel in the side of the head with my gun. It didn't hurt her, of course. I was glad that I'd hit her with my gun rather than my fist.
Oh, please!
Hazel tossed me across the room the way a child would toss away an old rag doll. I hit the wall and then the floor, then rolled over onto my back and gazed at the ceiling.
Harv! I don't suppose you could help me out here, could you?
A little bomb icon appeared before my eyes with the words System Error directly below it. Burns' device hadn't turned Harv off completely inside my head, but it was definitely wreaking some havoc with the system. I was sure that Harv would eventually iron out the bugs. The question was, would my head still be intact when he did?
All the things that need to be done in this house before the cataclysm, and I have to waste my evening killing some overrated B-level celebrity.
Please, Hazel, don't embarrass me at work.
I'm the one doing all the work here, you're just standing there.
And as I lay on the floor, the only thought I had in my head was that this would be a really stupid way to die. But here I was. All my gadgetry had gone from high-tech to high-dreck, thanks to the projector on the ceiling. Harv had become a very silent partner, and my gun had become the world's most expensive paperweight. Remember paper? Well, I'd always said that I could get along fine without Harv. Now it's time to put up or shut up. I climbed to my feet, and as the Goliath droid approached, I realized that my one last chance of survival was to make like a gumshoe David. So I wrapped my fingers around my gun and wound up my throwing arm like the illegal clone of Cy Young. Hazel put her giant hands on her wide hips.
Oh, good. Throw your gun at me. That worked so well last time. Pebcat, don't they make humans with brains anymore?
I threw the gun, but not at Hazel. I threw it at the projector on the ceiling. And when the metal of the gun butt shattered the projector glass, the whole unit exploded into a miniature mass of flaming debris and fell from the ceiling, right on top of Hazel. I was thrown to my knees by the explosion, and actually had a nano to enjoy my little victory. Then the rubble on the floor shifted, and Hazel, her faux hair still aflame, rose to her feet again.
I'm gonna have to clean this rug, you know. Do you have any idea how hard it is to clean melted circuitry out of shag?
She flexed her long metallic fingers menacingly.
Not to mention the blood stains.
My gun had also fallen to the floor in the explosion. It had landed on the far side of the room, almost directly opposite from me. All that stood between it and me now was a megaton of angry droid. But fast as Hazel was, I was hoping that my gun was a little faster. I stuck out my hand, fingers spread wide.
Come to daddy!
The gun, free now from Burns' nullifier, responded. She was 2 meters away when I gave the command.
Big bang!
The high-powered blast blew a hole in Hazel's chest, the size of a small dog. Wires, circuitry, and silicone splattered the wall behind her like high-tech gore. Her robotic eyes glazed, and she looked first at the hole in her midsection, then at her innards splattered behind her.
Oh no! Not on it! Drapes!
Boss, it appears that we had a slight problem with the interface, but it seems to be clear now. What happened here?
I had a little dispute with the maid, but I think we worked it out.
I turned my attention back to Burns. I pointed my gun at him again, and finally got the reaction that I'd been expecting. He fell to his knees.
No, no!
I take it you're out of domestic help.
Please don't kill me. It wasn't my fault. It was that proto-scum, Manny, and that crazy BB2 that made me do it.
Where are they?
They'll kill me.
You have a choice here, Burns. You can tell me everything I want to know and let the police protect you while I handle Manny and BB2, or you can die right here.
Oh, I wish you hadn't destroyed Hazel. She always made the non-virus-related decisions around here.
I picked Burns up by the shirt collar and slammed him into a wall. I stuck my gun into his nose and stretched his nostril cartilage until it fit the barrel.
I'll ask you one more time. Where are Manny and BB2?
The Fallen Arms Hotel in Oakland.
What do they want from you?
My old virus research.
And you just gave it to them?
I sold it to them for a fortune and for the promise of a place in their plan.
What is their plan?
I don't know.
What are they planning?
I don't know, I don't know. All I know is that it's the end of the world as we know it.
I let him fall to the floor, where he curled into a ball. The end of the world. Why does it always have to be the end of the world? We shot down the new Trans-City Highway in my Mustang. For the first time since I took on the case of the missing killer android, I had clarity of purpose. The pieces of this puzzle were coming together, albeit in a very abstract and urgent sort of way. Manuel Mani, BB Star's ex-lover and personal astrologer, had made 3 attempts on my life in the past 2 days, and now I strongly suspected that he was behind the other half dozen or so attempts as well. I let the first murder attempt slide, writing it off as the desperate act of a jilted lover, but Mr. Mani officially ran out of slack when he organized the droid blitzkrieg at the Nexus 9. As for Pizza Boy Burns and his crazed cleaning droid, that just added insult to injury. Now it was payback time. Harv's hologram sat in the passenger seat.
You're exceeding the speed limit for ground-based vehicles.
I'll charge the speeding ticket to BB Star. Either that or I'll take it out of Manuel Mani's hide.
Do you really think he's the brains behind all this?
3 of my would-be assassins have fingered him as their boss man. What do you think?
But he's BB's ex-lover.
Emphasis on the ex, buddy. I know that if I were dumped...
Which, judging by Dr. Gavada's apparent hostility toward you, seems a very likely scenario.
And thank you so much for reminding me. As I was saying, if I were dumped, I think I'd be very tempted to take up with a woman much like the one who dumped me.
You think Manuel and BB2 are an item?
Sicker things have happened, pal, which is why we're on our way to the Fallen Arms.
That's another thing that worries me.
What's that?
The Fallen Arms is not an active domicile. Abandoned since 2013, it is a municipally recognized shrine to urban blight. The only reason that the building is still standing is to remind present-day Oakland residents of how good they have it. A brilliant PR ploy by the current administration, by the way.
If you don't want to be found, where better to hide than the underbelly of the city? Now, have you done those searches I requested?
Of course I have, plus a few others.
And the results are...
surprising and confusing.
Go on.
Excel spent over 125% more on the BB2 project than I would have deemed necessary. The finances are scrambled, but I'm confident that my margin of error is under 0.3%.
Is that the surprising or confusing part?
Surprising.
Megacorps like Excel tend to go overboard with expenses, so I wouldn't worry about it. Now what's the confusing part?
I'm not sure.
Hence the confusion.
There are numerous scrambled transactions that involve seemingly unrelated items. They come from nowhere and seem to accomplish nothing.
Sounds like a government project.
No, I'm not talking ineptitude here. This confusion is brilliant in its chaotic nature. There is clearly a pattern and a purpose to the activity. It's just so well cloaked in chaos that it appears inept on the surface.
In other words, you can't figure it out.
Yet.
If you say so, just tell me if you make sense out of anything.
Not if, when.
If, when, whenever. Anything else?
I found one interesting note scribbled by hand over some early specs of the BB2 project.
And that would be?
It said, BS hates contractions.
Huh. Well, we all have our little peeves. You can figure all that out later. Right now I need all the info you can get on Manuel Mani.
I've done it already. And the stuff gets even weirder.
How so?
Manuel Mani, born in 2030 in New Mexico. The son of two computer programmers.
You mean the New Mexico that used to be the state?
No, that's New New Mexico. I mean the New Mexico that was once the country of Mexico.
I've never understood the World Council's insistence on sticking the word new in front of everything.
You don't want to go into that, do you?
No. Go on. He was born in Mexico.
New Mexico.
Harv!
He moved to New Frisco in 2045. Now this is where it gets weird. The databases show that 5 years ago, Manuel Mani worked as a robotics engineer with H-Tech, specializing in remote reprogramming.
Are you sure?
Actually, no. I just know the data is in the database.
Harv's hologram morphed into the shape of an H-Tech identification card. Sure enough, the card had Mani's picture and his name, with the title Engineer on it.
See?
I see, but in this day and age, seeing doesn't always translate to believing. It's a weird jump from robots to astrology.
Then again, personal astrologer was his official title when he worked for BB. Who knows what his actual duties were?
So he's a psycho with a background in robotics who's obsessed with BB Star. That would make BB2 his dream date.
Apparently someone for whom he'd kill. Speaking of which, the fall in arms is exactly 300 meters straight ahead.
I pulled the car to the side of the road and killed the engine and lights. I reached through Harv's hologram to the glove compartment, pulled out a fresh clip of ammo, and loaded my gun. Then I pulled my classic Colt 45 from the glove compartment and loaded it with some of Randy's specially designed ammo.
What are you doing with that ancient thing?
It's a backup.
The firearm is nearly 50 years old. It's unstable and non-computerized.
You're starting to catch on, Harv. I slipped the Colt into my ankle holster and stepped out of the car. A few nanos later, I was creeping stealthily through the darkness towards the fallen arms. Harv provided me with an illusory holographic cover, making me nearly invisible in the darkness. A neat trick, but it puts a hefty strain on my armor's energy supply, so I don't use it that often. The building itself was utterly decrepit. Like an idiot with a bullet in his head, it was dead, but too dense to fall down. So, against all logic, the building remained standing, its century-old rotted support beams and brittle infrastructure somehow keeping it upright. A real fixer-upper.
More like a real tear the thing down, burn the rubble, pour holy water on the ashes, and salt the earth so that nothing can ever grow there again, or...
Let's hope it doesn't come to that. But I will if I have to. I entered the building, gun drawn, and felt the floorboards creak beneath my feet. The lobby was empty, so I quickly moved toward the old stairway.
My senses report that the elevator is no longer functional.
Just as well. There's more room to move on the stairs. I tentatively put my weight on the first step. The wood splintered faintly beneath my shoe, but it held. I brushed away what appeared to be cobwebs from the ceiling and started up the stairs. Things were fairly uneventful as I passed the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth floors. I knew this was just the calm before the impending storm, though, and I was proven right when I reached floor 7.
Uh-oh.
What uh-oh? I don't like uh-oh.
I detect communications coming from floors 6 and 8.
Can you say trap?
I can say trap in 632 languages.
It was a rhetorical question, Harv. Witty banter to break the tension?
Maybe you should use writers. By the way, I strongly suggest you fling yourself to the left side of the stairwell, right? Now!
I did, just as two bullets whizzed past me. Then things got a little freaky. As soon as the bullets passed me, they suddenly stopped short and hung in midair for a nano, as though searching for something.
Hit the deck!
I dove to the floor a split second before the bullets changed course, hit the wall, and exploded where my head had been only nanos before. Tweet me! I don't need riders, I need stunt doubles.
They would have to be very stupid stunt doubles.
What were those? I crawled across the stairwell floor to the 7th floor door.
Smart bullets. An experimental weapon currently being developed by an H-Tech subsidiary. They're not actually intelligent, of course, but they're much more sophisticated than your average projectile weapon. They are programmed to attack a specific visual target.
A bullet with my name on it.
Your image, actually, but that's the gist of it.
The door out of the stairwell was locked, of course. It looked like I was going to have to blow the door with my gun.
Hello, Mr. Johnson. We meet again for the first time.
She called to me from the floor below.
Deidre? Is that you?
Yes and no, Mr. Johnson. Same model, different unit. As you'll recall, you destroyed the unit you met earlier this evening.
Yeah, sorry about that. I tend to get a bit defensive when someone's trying to kill me. I assume that the shooter on the floor above me then is Deidre? Deidre, are you there, buddy?
Don't call me buddy.
No hard feelings about what happened at the club, right?
No, but it will make killing you here more satisfying.
I think that qualifies as hard feelings, Deidre.
Harv, why are they talking instead of shooting?
My guess is that they're reloading.
Reloading? They fired once. What are they using, muskets?
I told you, the bullets are experimental. According to the most recent literature, the target image has to be uploaded into the ordnance just before firing.
How long does that take?
About 45 seconds.
How long since they last fired?
About 45 seconds.
The shot came from above, down the stairwell. I threw myself to the other side of the hall, but there just wasn't enough room to move. The bullet slammed into the stairway door, exploding, but not before grazing my side and ripping a hole through my armor and flesh. The explosion blew the door apart, and I could see the decrepit hallway on the other side. I put the pain out of my head and made a mad dash for the opening. The second shot fired from below. Fortunately, the smart bullet wasn't smart enough to recognize the image of my rear end as I turned tail, so as I threw myself into the hallway, the bullet sailed above me and exploded against the far wall.
Are you hurt?
Hurt, yes. Dead, no. The armor saved me.
I'm manipulating the armor to seal itself tightly around your wound. I'm also instructing your body to create some extra endorphins to quell the pain and adrenaline to keep you moving.
Thanks. Look, we got a few seconds now before the next round of bullets, so I need your help. Will those bullets attack a hologram?
No. Their secondary guidance system is mass-seeking. They seek out the image and then verify that the image is real through the use of sonar. The original design utilized a heat-seeking guidance system, but that proved less than effective, hence the new system. The designers felt that it was imperative to develop some sort of weapon that would be equally effective against organic and non-organic attackers. This new modification has not hurt performance against organics, but has improved performance against non-organics by a factor
10 words or less here, Harv. We're on the clock. I'm gonna need you to follow my lead very closely here.
What lead? What are you talking about?
9 words that time, buddy. Glad to see you're catching on. The layout of the 7th floor was simple and worked to my advantage. 2 perpendicular hallways crisscrossed the floor, north to south and east to west, dissecting the space into quarters. Another hallway ran entirely around the perimeter. Once inside, the 3 of us would be like rats in a maze. I allowed myself a tiny smile as I surveyed the floor. Not an easy thing to do when you've just been shot and are caught in a crossfire, and quickly tiptoe down the hallway.
Okay, here's the plan, Harv. And I'm guessing it's gonna be a hit or miss type of deal. Literally.
Deidre and Deirdre, guns at the ready, entered the hallway together a few nanos later. As I suspected they would, they split up. Deidre covered the entrance at the south wall, while Deidre padded quickly north along the center corridor. I waited until Deidre was nearly to the far end of the hallway before I made my move on Deidre. I sprang from my hiding place on the east wall and fired. Unfortunately, I made too much noise as I moved. Deidre spun and ducked behind the wall as I fired. My blasts missed, exploding on the western end of the hallway.
Uh-oh.
I turned and ran up the hallway. Deidre didn't have time to get off a clean shot at me, but she was quickly up and on the move.
Deidre, he is running north along the eastern wall!
Deidre had reached the northern wall, and at Deidre's call, turned right and sprinted toward me, confident that he could beat me to the junction. Sure enough, he rounded the corner. There I was, 20 meters down the hallway, looking for all the world like a deer in the headlights. I stopped short when I saw Deidre appear in front of me, but when I turned around, I saw Deidre as she rounded the corner by the southern wall. They had me now, trapped between them with no place to run. So they smiled, the way killer droids tend to do, and wordlessly raised their guns.
I'm trusting you here, buddy.
Boss, please. Have I ever let you down?
Actually, Harvard let me down on many occasions, but I didn't think right now was the best time to remind him of that. Harv went into action, as Deidre and Deidre simultaneously fired. His hologram projection unit projected the image of Nova Powers over me, and used the lens in my eye to throw dual images of me over both Deidre and Deidre. The smart bullets shot towards me from both sides in cold, perfect paths of death, but at the last nano, they zigzagged around me and zeroed in on each of the droids.
Uh-oh.
Well, now that's a shame. I was just starting to bond with those two. Nice job, Harv.
Another example of better living through holograms.
Do you read anything else nearby?
My sensors indicate heavy power use coming from floor number 13.
My lucky number. I went back to the stairway and began climbing again. But Harv stopped me before I went far.
Wait a nano. What's that?
What's what?
The hole in the wall. Take a close look at it again. Let me take a reading.
I walked over to the far side of the stairway and looked at the hole that one of the smart bullets had blown in the wall. The old wooden plaster had been atomized in the blast, but it revealed underneath a pillar of sparkling metal about a foot in diameter. The pillar ran up the length of the building like a high-tech sewer pipe. It looks new.
New and active. I'm not even sure what kind of metal that is.
What is it?
A power conduit, a support pillar, a weapon system, maybe all three. Whatever it is, it's brilliant.
High-tech?
Stratosphere tech. Suborbital tech. Moonshot tech.
I get the point, Harv.
By the way, boss, I think, what with the gunfight in the stairway and all, that we've officially lost the element of surprise.
I don't think we ever really had it, Harv. Let's go.